Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, my hard-working co-host, Cedra Sart.
Somebody thinks so. I need a raise.
Absolutely. You put a lot of work in, not just in this podcast, this program, but just like other things going on around here. You've got your hands full.
Yeah. Do you know what I do?
I don't know the half of it.
For the ones who are really wondering, I work with our marketing department. I'm the marketing assistant.
Yeah.
Specifically. So anything our marketing team needs, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Anything our the leader of our marketing department, you mm-hmm. know, she needs something, I do. So
yeah.
And that's one of the things when you're in your own, like I went going from being focused on one department and mm-hmm. now I kind of have to know what's going on in all of the departments.
Yeah.
And
That's a lot.
It is a lot, but it's, you know, it's fun and I enjoy it. I feel like I'm busy most of the time, which is the way that I prefer it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I hate a day when it's like, where is everybody?
Yeah.
Where is everybody at?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the kind of person, so I get to do this because I'm a writer. I like to sort of retreat into my own corner and just for hours on end, focus on one thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I thrive. But you and your whole department, because AFA does so many different things and a lot of these things have to be promoted and a lot of their marketing goes into it, y'all are involved in pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of face-to-face going on, teamwork happening. So that's a whole other ball game. And yeah, some hard work goes on in that department.
That's not just us, though. The entire ministry mm-hmm. is, I mean, full of people who believe in the concept of hard work, and they believe because they were given the ability to work
yep.
that they should be working.
Yep.
And I think that's so important, and that's just kind of, that's the topic for today, by the way.
That's exactly the topic for today. We're going to be talking about what it means for Christians when it comes to the idea of work. And we're taking it. It's a different angle than what I think. If you were to go on your podcast app and just look up work or productivity or anything like that, you would get all sorts of things from like self-help, habit building processes, which is all good.
Well, and in the Christian circles, mm-hmm. you're probably going to get a lot of talk about how work. You know, works do not lead to salvation, especially if you're in art, which mm-hmm. I agree with. Works do not save you.
And you're going to get a whole lot of different angles on the idea of what work is. But I think the angle we're taking is, what does the Bible actually say about humans working and being productive and doing things, putting energy out into the world? And what should our approach to that be? Because the modern world right now is very anti-work. And I think that's a complex conversation. I have heard points brought up from people who fall into that category where I'm like, okay, that's thoughtful, and I think that there is something there. You're talking about, you know, essentially working smarter, not harder, and, you know, why are you giving your life to this thing when there are more important things and priorities?
I get that,
I 100% get that, and I'm on board with that. But the idea of work as being something that is a necessary evil, I think is directly against what the Bible actually says and what God actually says about work.
Yeah, and this is, we are obviously, we take into consideration that not everybody is physically mm-hmm. or mentally able to do certain jobs.
Yeah.
But for the most part, there is some place where you can plug in your energy and your time.
Yeah.
And make something or, you know, build something. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, I know that, like here,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, at the American Family Association, and it started with Brother Don Wildman,
mm-hmm.
practically in his garage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By himself. Of course, he had his wife, Miss Linda, mm-hmm. who was by his side, and then others came along, and then eventually built.
Yeah.
What is the American Family Association today?
Right.
We have like 100, but over 160 stations across the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have, that's radio. We have a print magazine that goes into homes all across the United States. We have mm-hmm. an online blog. We have a whole new site, American Family News,
mm-hmm.
American Family Studios, that is constantly putting out content.
Yeah.
It all started from a man who saw this opportunity and saw God had built him for this work.
Yeah.
So he took it on and did it. And here we sit today.
Absolutely.
Without that, I wouldn't be looking at you right now.
Exactly. I mean, it's crazy that, you know, once upon a time, back in 1977, here we are right now. But you might be thinking, you know, as a listener, you might be thinking, well, yeah, but I don't have the personality of a Don Wildman, or I don't have that set of skills that would lead me into, you know, whatever the battle for righteousness is, whatever the case may be. The Bible actually says, you know, gives us a good way of framing this idea of work. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul writes, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So when we think about the work that God has for us, mm-hmm. and the work that we can do to His glory, we're not talking about going into ministry. We're not talking about starting a nonprofit.
Well, we're talking about those things, but all work.
All work.
Whether you're mm-hmm. like before I started working here, I worked in retail.
Yeah,
and in retail. I work for the Lord there too. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's the whole concept is no matter what you're doing.
Yeah. And this all goes back to the very beginning. If we look at the account of Genesis, when we look at one of the reasons humanity was created was to work. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve were placed in the garden to what? To tend it.
Mm-hmm.
And that implies work. That implies, I mean, anybody who's ever had a garden, and my father-in-law, we live right next door to my in-laws, he loves getting out there tilling the ground every spring and planting a giant garden.
Yeah.
And we benefit greatly from that. I'm sure I should probably help him out a lot more than I do. But we benefit greatly from that work that he does. And we all know that this idea of, you know, tilling the ground and reaping the benefit, that requires a lot of work. And before the fall, that work was probably much different than it is now. I mean, the Genesis does say that there is a lot of toil that goes in vain, and, you know, nature itself will kind of work against us because of sin. But work still hasn't lost its purpose, and we haven't lost our purpose mm-hmm. as workers. We were created to do the work of stewarding creation, of stewarding the gifts that God has given us, and of stewarding our own souls and being responsible for each other. And those very basic mundane things that you do day to day, whether that's you go into your office and you write your emails, or maybe you're a stay-at-home parent and you're tending to your children's needs, or maybe you're tending to your parents' needs mm-hmm. in their elderly life, and you're doing some very mundane, unglorious work. That is, you are called as a Christian to do that to the glory of God, because you're really doing what you were made to do. And there's something really beautiful about a creature that is doing the thing that God intended for it to do. A human doing work, whatever that work is, as long as it's done to the glory of God, is as holy as an angel singing,
mm-hmm.
because it is the creature doing what that creature is supposed to do.
Oh, the thing is that, obviously, like I said earlier, we in no way stating the fact that we're not stating that works make you Christian.
Oh, absolutely.
We're stating that because you're a Christian, you're going to want to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm saved, I'm going to want to go out and do the things that I'm called to do. And it does say in Scripture, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Mm, yeah.
Which, again, we're living in a society where it's, you know, where things like government programs and things like that mm-hmm. that were made to help people who were struggling,
yes,
have become a sole source of income
mm-hmm.
for some people who don't believe.
Yeah,
they truly don't believe, and some will even get angry if you suggest it.
Yeah.
That they can't survive without it.
Right,
they can't go out and get a job.
Yeah,
and then, and believe me, I know that sometimes in some areas it can be hard.
Yeah,
but it's not even just about going and getting a job,
mm-hmm.
but it's about wherever you see a need,
mm-hmm.
you're willing to put in the work to do to do this thing.
Yeah,
because Christ has called you to do it.
Exactly, and it really it just reframes, I think. I mean, we talk about the works that we do as Christians because we're Christians. So sharing the gospel with someone, that mm-hmm. work of, you know, serving people, of witnessing, of ministering, even the church. I think as a church member, you have responsibility yeah. to your church, not to just sort of be a recipient of the sermon in the pew, but to also reach out to other people around you and minister to them. So there's a lot of work that's built into the Christian life. But even the stuff that you do just because you're human, being a Christian and understanding that you are now in the kingdom of God. You were once in the kingdom of darkness. The Bible is very clear about that. But once you were brought into the kingdom of God through the blood of Jesus, that reframes all of the work that you do. So now when you change the oil in your car, that's kingdom work now. When you change your baby's diaper, that's kingdom work. Mm-hmm. And when you mow your grass or pick up trash off the street or go to the office and answer emails, that is all kingdom work now, and it becomes holy. The Bible talks about this in what is an interesting passage, and I don't have it directly before me, but the reference is Zechariah 14:20, and it's describing God's people and what it means to be God's people. And part of this description, God even tells the children of Israel through the prophet Zechariah that the pots and pans of God's people are holy. So if you go into your kitchen right now as a Christian and you pull out the utensils out of your drawer and you realize even these mundane things that I use them and I wash yeah. them and I don't even think about it, because I belong to the kingdom of God, these things as extensions of my life belong and the way the that I use God. Them belong to the kingdom yeah. of God.
And if you look at it from this thing, these are the things, this bowl, mm-hmm. I'm going to put soup in. Mm-hmm. That soup will nourish my body mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. that I may go out and do his work.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and that's the way yeah. it is.
And how many times, you know, as Christians, you know, we members of churches even, and I think especially in the South, I feel like it's a Southern thing, that, you know, people have gotten sick and, you know, somebody makes them a casserole or, you know, hey, what can we do? Can yeah. we come mow your lawn? And then the things that they're using to help and to minister to these other people, this is holy work. And we might we might not even think about, man, that casserole dish really did bless me. And I've been yeah. on the receiving end of that many times of like, yeah, Miss so-and-so from church, she made that one thing that we really, really like, and she brought it to us, and that really just blessed me and my family. We need to be mindful of those moments, whether we are doing them or we're receiving them, where we start to see, you know, through these mundane, everyday things into the reality of this is the kingdom of God, and it can really kind of maximize that blessing yeah. that you get out.
I mean, mowing your own lawn doesn't seem so wonderful and miraculous, but mowing this man from your church yeah. who just fell and broke his leg mm-hmm. recently and has no one else to do it for him.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like such an important tool. The other thing, you know, I was going to bring up, it's something you mentioned a long time ago in an article you wrote forever ago. The Christians should not separate our work from our faith. That kind of is sticking with me, because I realize everybody out there, not everybody's working for a ministry. Mm-hmm. We're working for a ministry where we're getting to constantly talk about these things, yeah. and it's part of our mm-hmm. job.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful, which, like I said before, I used to work in retail. Very different. I worked in a cosmetic store / boutique. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily, I mean, like, it was run by Christians. It was all very, you know, it wasn't nothing inappropriate, but it wasn't necessarily like,
yeah.
you know, like, you know, but no matter what I'm doing, the people that I'm serving, I'm supposed to serve them with, you know, because God gave me the ability to do so.
Right.
And in everything that you do, you're like, God has given me, you know, like, you're getting up and you're grumbling about going to work, because I do.
Mm-hmm.
I live 2 seconds down the road, and yeah. I'm like, man, I don't want to get up.
Yeah.
This bed is so cozy, but I'm like, the Lord got me up today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm awake. I'm alive. Mm-hmm. I have the ability to get up out of this bed
yeah.
and go to work.
Yeah. And I think another thing, too, that can sometimes kind of trip up a Christian's thinking when it comes to seeing their work as holy. Some Christians, you know, they might look at a retail job and be like, well, in a retail job, you know, you can take an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Or in a retail job, you can go out of your way to be kind, but I'm stuck in an office. I'm not visible. There's no one
yeah,
around
I'm in
me
my
that
little
I can,
cubicle.
I'm in But even then, I think we're missing the point. God doesn't value a Christian's work because of the impact it has on someone else's life. Mm-hmm. Now, that is very great, and God will lead Christians into those opportunities, and we need to be ready for those opportunities. But if God has you working in some little closet somewhere in a building where you're not really interacting in a way where you could possibly share the gospel, just remember that you're working as unto God. Mm-hmm. You're not working as unto other people. Your audience is God himself.
Yeah.
And if the glory that you give to God just goes to him, and he's the only one who's seeing it, that is still significant.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that the work benefits you too, even if you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And usually if you have the right frame of mind and you are going into it as if I'm doing this for the Lord, like no matter what it is that you're having to go do, whether you're having to work at the, you know, the grocery store or work in an office or whatever you're doing. But if you're going into it with the mindset of like, I'm going to do this as if the Lord himself is in this story, you know, I mean, he's with you everywhere, but as if, you know, every person I deal with is like, it could be an angel, you know, it's, it could be an angel. It matters. It could just be John from down the street and you should treat him the same.
Yes.
But if you go into it with that mindset, you'll find yourself being benefited like mentally, emotionally, and all kinds of stuff. And then like somewhere physically.
Now that's one thing too, is this reframing of work for a Christian can really change the way you live your life. For instance, in that article that you mentioned years ago, one of the inspirations for this article was a man named Brother Lawrence. Now, he lived a very long time ago. He lived in the 1600s. So,
yeah,
you know,
very
like,
long.
So like castle days. Now, Brother Lawrence was a monk. He lived in a monastery. He was one of these guys who intentionally took himself out of social circles and dedicated his life to a very strict practice of holiness. And one of the things that Brother Lawrence did, he wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And it's a really great devotional. No matter, you know, where you land denominationally, there's a lot of really good things that you can get out of this book. One of the things that he talks about is he hated washing the dishes. He absolutely hated washing the dishes.
Right there with you to this day. And honestly, I have a dishwasher.
That's the thing too. I'm like, look, I've got a dishwasher and I'm just washing dishes for like, you know,
I literally have to take them out, put them away, and then put them back in there.
I do a little, I'm one of those guys who I do a little scrub before I put them in.
I have to.
Because I don't like to pull out a dish that's still got stuff on it. But regardless, my experience of washing dishes is nothing to what his experience probably was of a whole bunch of guys in one building eating food, and he has to deal with the fallout of that. But that's one of the things. He hated washing dishes. Very relatable. But he wrote down that he was able to, by the grace of God, turned the act of even just washing dishes, something that was a thankless job. Nobody was praising him for this. He turned this act into worship. This was a way for him to worship God. The quote from the book is, "In his business in the kitchen, having accustomed himself to do everything there for the love of God and with prayer upon all occasions, for his grace to do his work well, he found everything easy during the 15 years that he had been employed there. He was much more united to God in his outward employments than when he left them for his devotion and retirement." So very old language to say that when he decided that he was going to turn this drudgery, this act of menial task, into an opportunity to pray and into an opportunity to meditate, and then to actually see, I'm not just doing this for myself. I'm not just doing this for my brothers in this monastery. I'm doing this as a service to God. He was able to see that his work was holy, and he was able to then extend that to everything else, so that he was able to say later on in the book, "It is enough for me to pick up but a straw from the ground for the love of God." And that's really the attitude that Christians need to have when it comes to work, is that this isn't, I don't need to be looking for the greatest impact. Yeah. I don't need to be looking for the most optimal, ideal way to make the biggest splash. Because what is that? We're creating our own standard there of what it means to have meaningful work. Really, what God wants us to do is to see what is the task at hand. What does God have right in front of us? And then to do it.
Yeah. I keep thinking of a lady that I don't know. I don't really go there very often anymore, but there's a local Sonic.
Yeah.
Shout out. Sonic is good. But there was a lady who was usually the one that would bring, like, I would stop and get my breakfast or whatever there.
Oh, yeah.
And she was usually the one that brought it out, you know, and just the way she did it. Wasn't like, you know, like sometimes you get somebody that's just like here, just like take your stuff.
Yeah.
Or like they just kind of, they're being polite because it's the job to do. But I felt like every time I dealt with her that it was not, just, she wasn't being polite just because it's her job.
Yeah.
I felt like there was more behind it, which I never got the chance to speak to her about it because I don't know, but it's like I felt like, she must be living in the presence of God. You ever see someone, you're like, even if you don't ask them, you feel like they're living for Christ.
Yeah.
Because she, like, every moment, it's like, I'm bringing out your giant cherry limeade and your cheese sticks. Why are you eating this for breakfast? But she was just, you know, it felt like she got joy out of being able to serve me. And you don't get that at a fast food restaurant most of the time.
Most of the time, that's
Now, that's not to say that most of the time. I mean, I get fine service. They're plenty polite.
Yeah.
But just like this, like, I am so glad I get to serve you today. You're getting. You don't get that.
No, absolutely. And that strikes me as very powerful because in those jobs where maybe you find yourself working at a fast food restaurant or a gas station or something where a lot of people would be like, that's the job that a teenager wants to get just to get a job, you know, and maybe that's not your first choice and you're dealing with people and you're dealing with all kinds of people. And for me, an introvert, I cannot imagine that.
Yeah.
But to be shown kindness is extremely powerful. I think everybody wants to be shown kindness, no matter who you are. You do want to be treated kindly. And as a Christian, in those situations, working retail, working with the public, that can be just right there a very powerful witness to what kind of work you're doing. And there should be a great difference between the work of someone who isn't working in the kingdom of God versus someone who is.
Yeah.
Even if they're working at the same place doing the exact same job, someone handing someone's order, you know, because it's their job. And look, I get it. Like, a lot of us sometimes are in that survival mode mindset. And this is a job. You just got to do it and you got to get through the day and you can't muster up that smile. But starting the day off knowing that what you're doing isn't just survival, isn't just to put food on the table, but this is also a privilege because you're working for God, then it might become easier to start seeing people as, okay, not only am I doing this for God, I'm bringing them also into it. Even if you don't explicitly with words share the gospel in that moment, because it might not be appropriate, but even just that act of showing them kindness, giving them the smile, just treating them, seeing their value as a human being and then treating them accordingly.
And that, sometimes those interactions can set the tone for the rest of my day.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have to let a bad interaction ruin my whole day and keep me from living a, you know, like a joy-filled life. But that particular interaction kind of does just start my day off.
Yeah.
In a way, like, I'm ready to pass that on now. That feeling and what I'm doing. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know, I felt more like I was speaking to a sister in Christ than I have with some people in churches that I've had to deal with.
Yeah.
In that moment, dealing with her, doing a job that, I mean, I appreciate.
Yeah.
Thank you for being there and doing that. But, I mean, like, when you're having to deal with the public, you know, it's good and bad. You got to take both of them. And it can be, I mean, that could be hard to deal with. And then, like, I switch that up. I've gone into churches before for other things that we've done and, you know, asking, you know, and it just seems like you're like, oh,
yeah,
we're having to deal with this. And like, they're, you know, half rolling their eyes at me. And I'm like, you're working in the house of God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are you not filled with happiness and joy?
Yeah. 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 And two, I'm thinking about the difference between from an employer's perspective. You know, a lot of employers might have difficulty getting the right attitude out of their employees and maybe getting their employees to stick to a task. I mean, there's a lot of things in a employer-employee relationship that can be complex and maybe, you know, eye roll inducing it sometimes. But as a Christian employee, how much of a witness would it be? Because your employer probably knows you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've probably had that conversation of, I can't work on this Sunday. Can I please not work on this Sunday because I got to go to church or something came up and then your spirituality comes out and your relationship with God comes out. So they probably know. And so if you can go into work on a Monday morning and have that attitude, have this frame in your mind of, I'm able to look past my boss right now and see the boss, capital B, behind him or her, and recognize I'm not just serving this person in front of me, this human being. I'm serving God through this relationship. How that will transform your attitudes and the way you tackle a task really will be a witness to your boss, whether they're a Christian or not. Minister them either way and could really change that relationship for the better.
Yeah.
So that is definitely a way that understanding what the Bible says about work really changes the conversation from what the world is very much concerned with. Well, guys, we ran out of time for today. Stick around for next week for more Share Truth, the Holy Scripture.